It's got a death curse.
Don't all of you be like me.
And then who will lock you up in a sewer?
Just like having a wart removed.
What's the boogeyman?
As a matter of fact, it was.
Can you tell us what happened? What's happening there, Ken?
I'll tell you this. I've seen things today that are gonna ruin the rest of my natural life, Grant. And I'm scared!
Kind of reminded me of the fog. You know, it was kind of freaky, kind of creepy, and I think I had that in the back of my mind when I was watching it, so...
We have also learned that some of the perpetrators are speaking in bizarre ways. They're babbling in ways that no one understands. We don't know if this is a way of trying to terrorize people. We don't know.
What they're hearing was actually true. Like, there are weird herds of people parroting shit back and trying to kill you.
Now, we are also hearing about a herd.
They're not zombies.
No, they're not.
No.
You call them zombies.
They're, no, yeah.
Yes, zombie-like.
Yeah,
they're not
zombies.
Yes,
they're not. They're
zombie-like.
Infected.
This is an infected.
They're not reanimated dead. They're not zombies.
No.
That was our own Ken Loney. Interviewing a screaming baby coming from Mary Galt's eldest son's last dying gasps.
The layer of madness is so perfectly portrayed there. Like, he said he'll never make sense of this. If he lives to be 1,000 years, this will not make sense to him. He's gone.
You are fucking with me! You are fucking with my head! And you! Don't you fuck with me!
He's infected.
If Andrew starts repeating himself, about to bludgeon him with the microphone.
Yes! And now for our safety listeners, we're going to switch to just French. Je suis!
Guys, this is 5 kilometers.
Not more
from
than
here.
5 kilometers from the station itself.
I can't get through the OPP.
Clearly, something has happened here in Pontypool.
This is Cash Wampum welcoming you all back to the Horror 101 podcast. This is episode 107. And tonight we are going to be tipping our hats to our homeland. In 2008, director Bruce McDonald gave us a low budget and very different take on the mass infection outbreak horror subgenre. As you may or may not know, this show comes to you from Ontario, Canada. And this little gem is set in a small Ontario town just a few hours' drive from here. Now, a lot of movies are shot in Canada, but not a whole lot of them are set in Canada. And with this being so close to home and the fact that we've received more than a few hints from you listeners to cover it, we've decided to give the Horror 101 treatment to Pontypool. So get out your maple syrup and beaver pelts, grab a can of pop, and relax on the Chesterfield, because this one's going to be pretty Canadian, eh?
Do it. He's in
tune.
Hey, good day. Welcome to the Great White North. I'm Bob McKenzie. This is my brother, Doug.
Welcome to this impromptu Friday night. What about dinner? Dinner was impromptu. Helen made impromptu dinner.
It wasn't impromptu. She told us on Wednesday.
That's fairly impromptu.
Do you know
impromptu
what impromptu means?
If they show up and I have dinner for them and
yeah.
They know about it.
I know what my English means, Nude. I just say it to get a reaction out of you fuckers.
Worked.
All right, let's get to this one. Nude, what are we doing?
Pontypool.
Where is Pontypool, Pants?
In Ontario.
It's not too far from here. We passed it
on the way up to Lindsay.
Kawartha Lakes, yeah. Every time we go up to Lindsay to see the Meanins, it's about... just on the other side of Toronto, right? It's in between Toronto and Kawartha Lakes.
Okay, so a 4 or 4 night.
Pontypool. And every time we drive by, it's like, ooh, it's Pontypool. Helen doesn't remember seeing this. I know Newton. I haven't seen it. We watched it on Lawrence. I know this.
After we're done, I will say on
2008
that you were right. if I remember it.
You don't remember the DJ and all that shit? You don't remember that shit? Brian Stewart, you've seen this
I
one?
Just read
no, my film group's been recommending it.
I just read the synopsis, and I don't, doesn't sound familiar to me.
I know we've seen it. I've seen it, and...
Well, I'm sure
you... How often do I watch a movie without you?
Well, you could have seen it before. I don't know. It was 08. 08? So, yeah.
There is no before with you and I before 01. I mean, let's do Pontypool because it's not just Canadian, it's Ontarian. Like, you, the first 10 minutes of this film, and you... You think you're in Ontario. You're on the 401 with this guy.
You see the Tragically Hip on the soundtrack.
And Tragically Canadian.
Some Rush.
Tim Hortons, and we're going
to
go.
Have you ever noticed that, though? It's, if you're listening to the hip when you're driving on the 401, when you hit about 120, the lines on the road match up with the beat almost perfectly. I think that's intentional.
Yep.
Change the dial on the music.
You've seen this, right? You?
I have not.
You have not seen
Pontypool? Surprise, surprise.
That's good.
I intentionally don't watch horror movies now because I'm just going to watch them here, and it's better if I don't see them.
It's apt for this time because it's not a zombie film, but it's like an outbreak film. Mm-hmm. So it's with the times, right? Yes, everybody's going to be reminded that you're all... There's an infection going around. Pandemic. Ah.
I was just amazed by your acting. The flailing arms.
Oh, look at the dead kid.
No, but I know the premise. It takes place largely in a... Like they say, it's a radio station, right?
Yeah. Like
people are calling in.
Well, he's a pirate radio. Isn't he a pirate radio?
No, it's basically... The main guy, I forget his name, but he's like a shock jock. He was like a famous shock jock that pushed it too far, got fired, and so now he's busted his way down to some bumfuck Ontario AM station. Yeah. You know, it's the only job he could get.
And it's like the late shift on the radio.
Too. Something like that, right. Yeah. So it's just like his first night in this shitty new job, and... Yeah. You know, he's got a couple of assistants and everything starts out correct, and then the fit hits the shan. So most of the movie is them getting reports in the radio station of what's going on in the outside world. How everything's just kind of like breaking down and them trying to piece together. You're like, is this a joke?
And as I was telling you, the guy that plays the DJ was married to Meg Foster.
Meg Foster, old blue eyes there.
Old cunt face.
That nude calls her a cunt. She used the C word.
Yep.
I did.
But why?
Because she was.
Peter Weller punched her out at the end of Leviathan.
That's right.
Yep.
She was Evil Lynn in Masters of the Universe.
She was in They Live.
They Live.
They Live. Yeah, she double-crossed Roddy Piper. Yep. Fuck that broad.
That's the line.
You don't smash a bottle over Roddy Piper and send him flying out a freaking window down a hill.
No, you do not. But she did.
That was one hell of a tumble.
Oh, okay.
He did that himself, by the way, too.
He did his stunts? Yeah, I believe it.
Oh, okay, yeah. The lead in this, Stephen McCaddy, actually is Canadian. He's from Antigonish.
Antigonish?
Yeah, Nova Scotia.
I know Stephen McCaddy from something else. He does voiceover work, doesn't he?
I think he does that too. He was in Watchmen. He was in 300.
Yeah, this is Sparta, motherfucker!
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure the motherfucker line wasn't in there, but...
Yeah. This is Sparta! Yeah, enjoy your fall.
He's been around for a while. He's a pretty consistent character.
And he was married to, as Helen...
Yeah.
So Connelly says... The cunt.
You know what? We're going to have to call up Meg Foster and say, hey, Meg, just to let you know, my wife called you a cunt. She doesn't know you.
It is on record.
She doesn't know you. Called you the C word, though.
She has resting cunt face.
What do you think of that?
Her character, not her. I don't know her.
I'm sure she probably works with orphan children as well. She's a nice person.
What?
But in all films, she's a cunt.
So, it's a very Canadian film, horror.
It's very short, too. It's
apt for the time, and I'm pretty sure everybody should enjoy it. I don't know. To be honest, I have no expectation for scores on this one. You could go from 5 to 10 on this. I don't know where you're going to sit.
They're pulling two people out of a van. Oh, my God! They're fighting!
What you are hearing is an actual radio broadcast. It is the only recording of the event.
Blocks preventing people from leaving and entering area.
Everybody is under quarantine.
Blood! Blood!
We still do not have an official version of these events, and it's very difficult at this moment to get a fix on what has happened.
Oh, God! These people are trying to eat their way inside.
They cut into our signal.
Ken?
Their eyes. He's looking at me.
For your safety, please avoid contact with family members restrained from the following. All terms of endearment. For greater safety. Do not translate this message. Not translate. Just listen to me.
I like how they give you a hint of what's to come with that lady that's just kind of casually walking up,
yeah,
kind of dead-eyed in his window, just, and she's murmuring something, she's repeating something, but we can't really make out what it is. He's like, what the fuck you need? And then she just disappears into the snow.
But he was talking on his cell phone, too, so it was like transmission seemed like to be the trigger.
Well, the thing, like, she started walking away before the window was down, so she didn't hear him. So after he had rolled the window down saying, hey, boom, she was already gone. That's why she didn't latch on to him.
Right. No, but he was yelling out the window, and somebody was echoing back what he was saying.
Oh, that's, yeah, you could hear somebody, yeah. Yeah.
But it was,
yeah,
also in the middle of a snowstorm.
But it was in the middle of a snowstorm, and then he rolled up the window and drove away, so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, at that point, it's like, catch me, motherfucker!
Yeah. The noise is muffled.
What'd you do? I pissed off patient zero. How are you today?
Good morning, Pontypool. This is Radio 660, The Beacon. Down here in the dungeon, under the street they call Drum. I'll be banging the drum for you all morning. I'm Grant Mazzy, and as always, I'll be taking no prisoners.
I've got a few problems with it, but my biggest problem with it is there is way too much at the beginning of him just being on the radio. Normal DJ morning drive guy. There's way too much of that.
Well, I mean, that there's set.
It's character development.
Yeah, but come on. It's set, padding. Big
a little bit, yeah.
The producer's on his ass. The intern's kind of got starry eyes for this guy because you get the feeling like he was a shock jock for like a major network.
Yeah, he was, come on,
we've really, yeah, got to flesh out those two dimensions.
Of course, yes, yeah, absolutely.
Breaking news. The Ontario Provincial Police are reporting a major bust of a significant grow operation in a quiet cul-de-sac in that town. Constable Howard Ng says it's a sign of things to come.
You could have cut 15 minutes out of that, you honestly, know, and nothing would have been lost.
I do like the one touch that just, I think, drives home small town Ontario when she has to boil kettle from, like, she's boiling the water from the kettle because in the background the coffee vending machine's out of order. Like, that's their budget. That's their level.
They're in the basement of a church.
Yeah, they're
our radio station is a salvage church.
Yeah, yeah.
Hail Mary, yea, though I walk, we go to Kenloney in the Sunshine Chopper.
It's always brighter above the clouds, Grant.
Hey, Ken, how you doing? How are things in that bird up there? You going to stay in that bird up there during the storm?
Yes, sir. Yes, sirree.
Well, that can't be safe. Is that safe, Ken?
Well, I'll be up here, Grant, on storm watch, watching all the routes in and around our region.
Really?
Really, yep.
Okay, Ken.
Our Asian correspondent out in the field, Trisha Takanawa, you know, Ken out there coming back, he's like, yeah, I'm up here in my helicopter. He's like, yeah, it's not a helicopter, he's in a van. It's like, okay,
Dodge
whatever.
Dart.
Whatever.
We have an exclusive live report from Ken Loney in the Sunshine Chopper. What can you see there, Ken?
Grant, I'm watching hundreds, literally hundreds of people packed in and around this building, and it looks pretty odd from up here. They seem to be trying to cram themselves inside. Oh, whoa!
What's happening, Ken?
The side of the office. This building is just burst outward. It's spilling people. It just kind of exploded. Oh, Jesus. It's an explosion of people. Oh, my God. People are getting trampled. These people are getting killed out there. Oh.
Okay, Ken, get safe. Yeah, just try to get out of there.
The road is blocked. There's definitely fatalities here. Down there, people have just died, Grant. I don't know what the hell has just happened.
Well, we're gonna have to see if we can,
Grant?
Ken, are you there, Ken?
okay? We've got nothing on this
ground. We've got to get some information on what is clearly happening.
Christ, this is 5 kilometers
from
here.
Not more than 5 kilometers from the station itself. This is
what we
have.
Don't say a lot, Grant. We need to get this confirmed somehow.
Something has happened at a doctor's office here in Pontypool involving a possible riot.
I can't get through the OPP.
Clearly something has happened here in Pontypool.
Can we, we've lost Ken. Go to break. Go to recap, Grant.
Can he describe what he saw, or at least what he thinks he saw?
I felt so bad for him early on, because early in the film, you believe that maybe he is a weather helicopter guy who's flying around, and then when you find out, we don't have the budget for that, what are you, ridiculous? He's driving around in his car, and you think, oh shit, he's on the ground for this movie? Oh, that's not good.
Mr. Massey, is it true that French-Canadian soldiers have set up roadblocks preventing people from leaving and entering your area?
I haven't heard anything about this, Grant, and I don't think he knows what he's talking about.
And if so, does this have anything to do with your country's history of separatist terror groups?
Nigel, the honest truth is that no one has officially come out ahead on this. We simply do not know.
There you have it. A series of strange riots and violent mob scenes in rural Canada that no one, I repeat, no one can explain. Meanwhile, reports persist that French-Canadian riot police have been called in to crush this insurgency.
It's a conjecture from the BBC reporter. That guy doesn't know anything.
He doesn't know shit.
From our affiliate, the BBC.
Our affiliate station, the BBC World. It's like, oh, Nigel from BBC is calling us. It's like, yeah, we're big time, you know. Yeah, what, do you know what's going on in your town? We don't have any clue what's going on. Well, thank you. You heard it here first. There's riots and nobody knows what the fuck's going on.
We now go to Ken Loney, live in the field in Pontypool. Our reporter, Ken Loney. Ken, are you there, Ken?
Yes, I'm here. Send someone. I'm not safe here.
Not safe where, Ken?
Oh, no, don't say where he is in case something happens.
The grain silo. I'm near the train tracks. That's the big silo, not the little ones. I ran here from the entranceway of the Immokalee National Park. They came after me. You gotta send police.
There is no contacting the police, Grant. There is no reaching the police.
Can you tell us what happened? What's happening there, Ken?
Look, I'll tell you this. I've seen things today that are gonna ruin the rest of my natural life, Grant. And I'm scared.
He basically sells the threat of this movie by himself.
Ken, it's Grant. Are you injured and have you been hurt?
It crashed through the wall. It was Mary Galt's boy. Her big teenager, Jesse. Jake or something. It was him. He had no hands. The kid had no hands.
Grant, let's stop this now.
What's he doing now?
Not in the air, Grant. I'm not going to listen to somebody get killed on the air.
He's looking at me. I think he's...
No.
Hang on.
Ken, whatever you do, don't go near him.
And that moment when he's trying to bring the phone closer to get the recording of that woman's
kid,
handless son, teenage son with his hands in the air, and he's like the bloody stumps, and he's like, I think he hurt himself, I think he has broken bones because he's not moving, but he's making his sound, he's whispering something, and he's just whispering, don't go any closer, just, I wouldn't recommend that, because he's in shock now. That DJ is losing it. He has lost his mind. Poor Mazzy there, I think he's gone at that point, like he's kind of like unspooling.
I don't even know how he's doing that. It sounds like there's a child is screaming inside his breath.
Is this actually happening, Ken?
Easy, Grant, easy.
That was our own Ken Loney.
You're a radio agent.
Interviewing a screaming baby coming from Mary Galt's eldest son's last dying gasp.
Massey in the morning. Grant.
What?
Grant. Fishing. We're going fishing.
I was a little baby, a tiny little baby.
Grant.
What?
The way in which he just kind of numbly reports what was just played back over Ken's phone, where he's like, You just heard the sound of a baby coming from Mrs. So-and-so's teenage son's dying gasp. It's like, it doesn't even make any sense to him as he's saying it. And it just sounds like gibberish, and he's just, that stare of his is haunting. Like,
yeah.
He just breaks.
He's reporting reality, but it sounds insane.
It's so, you know, insane. It's like,
at what point did this just become fucking insane?
The layer of madness is so perfectly portrayed there. Like, he said, he'll never make sense of this. If he lives to be 1,000 years, this will not make sense to him. He's gone. Then right after that is when he has to leave, right? I need to see something concrete.
Yeah.
I need to get out of here because this is madness.
It's dangerous! Don't go, Brad! He's dying, Brad! It's dangerous!
Well, I gotta take a look out there. I gotta see what's going on.
We'll go in the blizzard, so I need you on the radio! Don't walk out on me, Brad! Please, I need you! Shit! Fine, just fucking fall apart!
Nothing. Just a cold, cold, cold day.
Oh, shit!
What you looking at?
Shit, move!
We have an enemy, sir.
Orlan, we got an enemy.
These people could literally leave at any time. They have no, aside from like weird phone calls and shit that they're hearing and stuff like that, they have no serious indication because it's not on the wire. There's no official confirmation. This could be a War of the Worlds level hoax.
Like, yeah.
Nobody knows what in the fuck's going on. So he goes to leave, so we're like, oh, well, you know, maybe we'll actually get a chance to see, is there confirmation, is there carnage, like, what's going, is it nothing, you know, do they leave, did they get away, is this going on the road now? So it had the chance for the movie to fork in a different direction at that point, like, to leave the single scene, and just the way they handled, like, them needing to stay in there and actually show that the threat is real, I liked that. I liked the way that they pulled that off.
What's going on?
Sydney, listen, I'm scared too.
Don't you walk out on me? You come. Lauren, we got a first aid kit.
Yeah, okay.
What's going Sydney, on? Focus.
And you can hear them
repeating what
she said to him.
Exactly.
Because she said something like, don't you walk out on me, Grant, or something like that. And they were all chanting, because that's the first thing that they heard, so that's what they honed in on,
yep. When she raised her voice. I liked how they handled that particular scene.
Okay, we have the translation. Now I'm going to read this, reminding our listeners that the source has not yet been identified, and early analysis
has identified this as possibly a hoax of some kind.
For your safety, please avoid contact with close family members and restrain from the following. All terms of endearment.
Such as honey or Sydney? Sweetheart.
Yeah, Bob, what's
up? Talk with young children.
And rhetorical discourse. For greater safety, please avoid the English language. Please do not translate this message.
Now, hold on a second. Now, as of right now, and I'm sure within a few generations this will probably change, but the two national languages of Canada is English and French.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
So is this movie suggesting that the English language is a virus?
Yes.
Because they're like, oh, French is fine. Other languages are fine, but
Arabic, obviously.
This is English.
It's a weird combination of words.
He says it.
The
doctor says it.
Certain English words are infected with something. A virus, a life form, something.
As I understand it, the entire English language is affected, but there's only certain words that trigger.
Mm-hmm.
But it's
this movie is anti-English. I'm appalled. I'm offended. As a mainly English speaker.
I'm going to go see if Mr. Mazzy's missing. Mr. Mazzy. Mr. Mazzy's missing, as in, because he's not here.
Oh, well, honey, he's in the sound booth.
Yeah, I know, I just...
Okay?
I'm gonna go.
I like the assistant. She starts going. It's like, uh-oh. And then she starts getting ugly.
Yeah. Well, that's heart-wrenching, too, because she was the only one in his corner early on.
Yeah.
And it's kind of sad to see the one you like go first. It's like, oh.
She reminded me of the girl from, what's her name? From, like, is it Scary Movie?
Yeah, I was going to say, she looks like the girl from Scary Movie.
Oh, and
Anna Faris.
Anna Faris. Yeah, she reminded me of her a bit.
Excuse me.
Sorry. Please, don't be alarmed. I'm Dr. John Mendez. I have had a hell of a time. I have literally been crawling on my hands and knees throughout town all over and... Okay, oh, don't say anything. Okay. Oh, boy.
She's just started doing this.
Sorry, I'm a doctor. We should step out.
Laurel Ann? Laurel Ann, honey, are you okay?
No. It's terribly urgent that we keep moving. She'll follow our voices. We have to, what's that?
It's a sound booth.
Lifeboat. Let's go.
Mr. Mendez is missing Mazzy. No, I'm missing Mazzy. I have to.
The doctor that was in the, you know, the epicenter of this just casually strolls through the window.
Yeah, he's gone.
But he just seemed almost amused by everything that was happening. Like, it was almost like, I'm not afraid of this at all. You know, it's cool. And then when shit hits the fan, he just goes back out the fucking window again. Hashtag spoilers! But
he was morbidly curious. So it was interesting. It's like all scientific. Yeah.
What's going on?
Your friend is sick. I've seen a lot of this lately. She doesn't know it yet, but she's hunting us.
I don't miss Mr. Massey. I'm not missing anymore Sydney.
Well, I think the doctor knew what. That's why he came in, and he was probably following this for a while, and he brought it. It's not that they figured it out.
Right.
He told them about it, because it sounded like he was researching it. Mm-hmm. Like, that's my opinion.
Right, but from the audience perspective, it gets solved fairly quickly from our point of view.
Yeah, it's just the way the doctor was, like, just kind of rambling on, just like, it sounded like he was just, like, just riffing, and I'm like, I know you're under investigation for writing too many prescriptions. Were you writing them to yourself?
But you do get the sense he had been trying to piece this together for some time.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I think that the epicenter was his office.
We are witnessing the emergence of a new arrangement for life, and our language is its host. It could have sprung spontaneously out of a perception. If it found its way into language, it could leap into reality itself, changing everything. It may be boundless. It may be... God bug.
Okay, Dr. Mendez, look, I don't even believe in UFOs, so I gotta stop you there with that God bug thing.
Oh, really? Well, you know, that's very sensible, because UFOs don't exist. But I assure you, there is a monster loose, and it's bouncing through our language, frantically trying to keep its host alive.
In my mind, I was thinking of possibilities for what this was, what this could be. But I didn't like their explanation for it.
You didn't like the doctor giving you that much-needed exposition for what the fuck is going on out there?
No! I actually think that this would have worked out in a lot of ways better if they pieced it, or at least, you know, if you trimmed the fat in the beginning, kept it the same length, and put more on them actually dealing with the crisis and actually coming to a resolution on their own, I felt it would have been a stronger story.
It's only the English language that's infected. Oh, breathe. He just gave her tongue.
Why so serious?
Why so? You know how I got these scars? I spoke English. It was a bad day for English.
So this is what happens when a victim can't find a victim. This is the fate they're trying to escape. My God, that was impressive. And singularly monstrous, defies comprehension. I'm sorry.
Fucking geyser of blood that comes out of her, which is way more blood than can be possible in human.
And there was chunks in it.
Yep.
There was chunks in it. And it was a little bit orange, too. The one scene of gore that we get.
Yep.
Grant, run! Run now!
Run now! Come get me!
Just fucking curb stomp that bitch! Curb stomp it!
I was just about to say, it was a girl, by the way.
Yeah,
that's my scene when they were beating her up.
But all you saw was the wall and a poster of Buddy.
No, but when she came up and she, what did she say? Run. And then she repeated it in that freaky voice.
Yeah.
And then they threw her against the wall. And then, you don't see them stomping, but yeah, they pretty much. And then she was like feeling horrible. I killed a girl.
Which I think is what. Yeah, because I was wondering if there's a correlation between that, because she kept writing it on the wall, I killed a girl, kill. I killed. So, like, kill, yeah, kill, that's kill, a good kill. Point. And then that was the word that triggered.
And that girl was also the first one you see this affected.
Well, Sydney, I think you got an infected word. You're infected. But we know the word. Don't say anything. Don't say anything. No, no, no. Stop. Stop. We know the word. Okay, kill isn't kill. Sydney, kill isn't kill. It isn't kill. Kill isn't kill. Kill isn't kill. Kill isn't kill. It isn't kill. Kill isn't kill. Kill isn't kill. Kill isn't kill. Oh, God, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Okay. Kill is blue. Kill is wonderful. Kill is loving. Kill is baby. Kill is mayonnaise garden. Kill is beautiful morning. Kill is everything you ever wanted. Kill is kiss. Kill is, kill is kiss. Kill his kiss. Kill his kiss. Is that it? Kill his kiss? Kill his kiss. Kill his kiss. Kill his kiss. Kill his kiss. Kill his kiss? Kill his kiss. What is kill?
Kiss.
No. That's the one thing that I did kind of like about this is it wasn't like a group of experts and yada 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 saying, you know, working the problem, figuring it's a fucking radio DJ and his producer in the basement of a church, you know, with the harebrained idea that fuck, it worked once, maybe it'll work again.
Sydney, this is big. This is huge.
Where are you going?
We gotta let people know about this. We just found a way out of this.
Shit, Grant, wait, listen to me. Grant, what are we doing? Oh, what are we doing here?
Come on, girl. One last show.
One last what? Grant, listen to me. We're not supposed to be even out here. What are we doing out here? It's not safe.
Sid, we're gonna save the fucking world. Right now. How you feeling?
Tell them bird is sky. Tell them white is blue.
No, because no,
both, no, those both are all both colors.
At one point he says
you're
something.
Terrible at she, this. You're just doomed.
At one point he says something and she says rhinoceros.
Yeah.
Like they're in two entirely, they're not related at all. Like,
they have to be completely abstract, no correlation. Yeah.
Wampum! Cash is wampum!
Yeah, that would, yes.
No, no.
Cash is wampum!
No! Just fuck this.
Somebody killed Paul. He's infected.
If Andrew starts repeating himself, I'll bludgeon him with the microphone.
Yes.
And now for our safety listeners, we're going to switch to just French. Je suis! Je suis, tu es, ils sont, nous avons, vous avez. Soixante canes!
The sky is a person. Laughter is walking. Yellow is crowded. Friends are verbs. Teeth
sounds like shitty haiku. Rhonda, I don't think we're saving the world with shitty haiku.
Okay, for Christ's sake, everybody's a critic. Help me out here. Cling! Cling!
Intake!
Trespass!
Sniper!
Swimming!
Tomorrow!
Fidelity!
Monologue!
Savage!
Sausage!
Tomorrow!
Money!
Ceiling!
Rhinoceros!
Laughter!
Grant! Shit! They're just shooting people, Grant! They're just killing people!
Stop killing people! You gotta stop killing people! You gotta stop! You gotta stop! Stop! Stop!
Thoughts about the ending? Did they nuke the town? What do you think? They were counting down all Français. Think they were nuking that town?
Launch la bombe neutron.
Canadian nukes coming in?
Yeah, that
the Grand Poutine.
That town's gone.
So what's the message? English bad, pandemic bad.
Stop talking to each other. You're spreading nonsense.
Don't speak to one another, and if you do it in a different language.
Yep.
Careful, that's the message.
I don't comprehend you.
Je ne comprends pas.
The message is words hurt.
Be careful. Don't they? Be careful what you broadcast.
Feelings, man. All my feelings. Words hurt. You know what I say? Sticks and fucking stones, man. Sticks and fucking stones. That's what I say.
You're right. We should arm ourselves with sticks and stones.
Sticks and stones may break my bones. Your words are not going to hurt me. Shit. Fuck.
Brick and a baseball bat.
This movie promotes the healing power of KISS, so you can rock and roll all night and party every day.
Don't fucking invoke Kiss into this shit. Especially that fucking song, Brian Stewart. How dare you? How dare you?
That's your favorite song.
No, it's 8 minutes of the same fucking chorus.
And party every day.
Yes! Fuck them. Horrible song.
Could have been worse. Could have been Beth.
I would listen to that one before that other one. Wanna rock and roll all night and party every day. 6 minutes later, I wanna rock and roll all night.
See, in Amber's mind, Kiss is Kill.
Now, see, that's gonna be my loop right there. If I knock on your door and I'm singing that song and I'm just looping it,
I will kill you.
Hit me with an iron, killing. Tire iron, baseball bat, something. Just fucking get me out of my misery.
It'd be even worse if it was on Garbage Day.
Guess the visitor trend. Oh, nine.
Ponty Pool, my Ponty Pool. We interrupt our call-in segment to bring you breaking news out of our area this morning.
All right, let's score this movie. Nude, let's do it. What do you think? Ponty Pool.
I'll give it a 6.
Yeah.
I like the idea that it's the English language is the virus. That's something cool. No, I mean, and I like the scene. And it's actually, I've never seen it before. And I didn't know what to expect. I just looked at it today. And the setting was kind of reminded me of The Fog. It was kind of like, yeah. You know, a little, you know, it was kind of freaky, kind of creepy. And I think I had that in the back of my mind when I was watching it, so. It's a good movie.
I can see where you're coming from, because Adriana Barbeau was trapped as the DJ. So I don't know what's going on. Some shit's going on.
Exactly. But and then I give it just a weird and a, I think a, just a cool spin on it. I think the English language is what's actually causing people to get infected. It's totally different than tradition, like a bite or any type of you know, animal or poison or anything. It's something that simple.
It's all in a word, Newt.
Yeah.
It's all in a word.
Should we be talking about this?
What are we talking about?
Should we be talking at all?
Paul B., score this motherfucker.
I'll go half a point higher than Helen.
6.5.
Very interesting idea. Way too padded. I really think that between introducing him and to where you see the actors coming in, that could have been cut right down and you wouldn't have lost anything. A lot of it is, I mean, the vast majority of it is implied. You don't really see much until the one scene of the $1.5 million scene of gore. Some of it's incredibly silly, but the idea is interesting enough to give it a good grade, to say people should see it.
He said that we have to stay inside. Pontypool's under quarantine. Everybody has to stay inside at all times.
Nick!
I'm actually probably going to go with a 7 on it.
Yeah?
Yeah, because I agree somewhat with Paul that even if it wasn't padded, I feel like the time could have been used a little more effectively. I like the acting in it. Some of the scenes made me downright uncomfortable. Like, there's some creepy shit in this. Like I said, just I get what they were trying to do with the whole method of infection. There just wasn't a clear enough demonstration. Like, just the rules were fuzzy. Okay, it's in the language. Okay, is it specific words? Is it specific intent? Like, is it, like, it just seemed too random. It just felt like it just kind of lost a little focus. Like, 3/4 of this movie, I was in. And the last bit, they kept kind of getting me and losing me, getting me and losing me. Like, just, there wasn't enough hook at the end. Yeah, like, it gets a 7, basically, because I liked some of the shots. I liked the atmosphere of it. I liked the acting in it. Like, there was so much about it that I liked. It just didn't stick the landing for me.
You are fucking with me! You are fucking with my head! And you! Don't you fuck with me!
Brian Stewart, you got a score for us.
I'm going to give it an 8.
Really?
I enjoyed this. I mean, and I guess it really breaks down to personal taste. I think Paul didn't care for the pacing early on, but I actually like that it took time to settle into this place so we could get a feel for these characters. This is his first day on the job. I did mind the slower pace early on. I minded how rushed the explanation came. That was a bit much all at once. But I like getting settled into a place before the shit hits the fan. You know, I like the fact at Poltergeist we get a lot of daily family routine, messing around with the TV remotes with the neighbors, and these are all scenes that, you know, just there to give us a sense of the family and the characters. And I like these three characters. I like the producer who's trying to set the laws, saying, listen, you've come to a small town. This is the way small town life is. I like your attitude. You were hired to give me something mazzy, but I need you to tone it down because families need to know that the schools are closing.
Yeah. And so I also don't think that this was his first day, because there was enough time for them to build somewhat of a rapport. Right. Like, she had the whiskey for him and stuff like that. But he was new. Like, this was very new.
There's posters of him all over the world.
So there was some early friction. For a little bit.
Yeah, there was a little friction there, though. So, like I say, I like the professional friction there, trying to iron out the kinks in a new show. And so there's a lot of good character interaction. And so you get a real sense of who these people are. And, like I say, and then when the calls start coming in and, you know, the strangeness and the news reports, I thought it built well to that point. The only thing that bugs me, and I almost would not even include the doctor at all. I wouldn't have included any explanation. I would have just had language looping for no explanation, that maybe just drop hints that there's something in the broadcast that's doing it, or something in the airwaves, because it seems to trigger when anyone's on a cell phone. Right, because there's enough 5G nonsense out there that I'm sure people are already terrified.
That's what I'm saying. Give me everything or give me nothing.
I prefer less. Right,
yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, I am right there with you. But
Living Dead.
Yeah,
it's for me. It's a minor point because I liked how trapped I felt in that booth. I liked that it was all trapped in one tiny little place, and I was concerned for those characters. I didn't know how they were going to get out of that. I liked it.
It enters us when we hear the word, and we understand it. Understand? It is when the word is understood that the virus takes hold, and it copies itself in our understanding.
I think I'll probably go with, I'm between 6.5 and 7 for me. Between 6.5 and 7.
6.75.
I was never bored. I liked the premise of it. To me, it seemed like Night of the Living Dead mixed with Outer Limits. That's the feeling that I get from this. Yeah. You know, it's the one setting, you're trapped, you know, getting snippets of information from the outside, not being able to make much sense of it, you know, and it goes from, you know, where the only difference is, like, Night of the Living Dead starts off with panic and danger. This movie does not. It's just that, you know, there's just a hint of oddness, to wonder about the oddness, to getting, you know, you're starting to get more and more information, and then the panic starts setting in. I like how there's a tourniquet with this film that's slowly being squeezed throughout the entire film until the end, right? And the end does go off the rails a little bit. Maybe they could have changed the end a little bit. If they would have given a lot of thought to how to end this film, it could have went up to like 9, 9.5.
Yeah.
Because the premise was good. Mm-hmm. You know, you got all the things that we wanted. One set movies, you know, good acting, characters that we care about. We had all that shit. But then it kind of went off the rails a bit. But still, that tourniquet just kept getting rung a bit. And you watch this film, and living in Ontario, like, mentioning the OPP all the time, the Ontario sign behind you, the Canadian National Anthem, like, this movie is Canadian, folks.
Canadian as fuck!
This movie is Canadian. So, and apparently English is bad, which is horrible for all of us, because I tell you what, listeners, they spend 8 years in school trying to fucking drive en français into this fucking head, and I wasn't having any of it, man. And, you know, kudos to Nude for the fog reference. I didn't even think about it.
I was actually going to say fog or Ghost Watch, the way people are calling it with their stories.
This is nonsense. This is nonsense. No, our phone lines are jammed, and we're done. You don't know what you're saying. Saying. We gotta
if
sing.
Only you could speak French.
Saying is black. Saying?
No. Black. Rhinoceros.
Saying is rhinoceros.
You sound like Rain Man.
You saved my life, Paul. Oh,
now you get a kiss.
No!
Oh, the state of drunkenness have leveled off to acceptable levels this morning as Buddy Bob Roseland and Deadeye Derek McCormick, OPP Pontypool Division, have contained the hostage situation. We'll be back with updates as the situation hiccups. Keep an eye out for crazy ladies in the snow. And remember, wherever you're headed, get there safe.
And there you have it, my friends. Pontypool, directed by Bruce McDonald, starring Stephen McCaddy, Lisa Hull, and Georgina Riley. If you're looking for a bizarre, apocalyptic film that's going to make you flex your imagination to add to the weight of the story, this is the perfect film for you. Whatever misgivings we had, Pontypool has excellent performances with a professional style, and I will definitely say you should check this one out. We hope you enjoyed the show. Spring is just around the corner here in Canada. Can't wait for the nice weather to come back. We hope you have a great March, and we will be coming back at you for episode 108 at the end of that month. For the world-famous Brian Stewart, the cult sensation Nick McPherson, the nefarious Paul V, and my wife, the lovely Nude, this is Cash Wompomp saying thanks for listening and reminding you that there's a horror movie out there that's just going to scare the hell out of you, and we're going to help you find it right here at Horror 101, educating your fears.
The entire non-English-speaking world collectively telling the English-speaking world to shut the fuck up.
Stop talking.
Don't talk.
You're by the stage.
Your words are poison.
English. You English pig dogs.
I fought the new janitor.
Go away or I shall taunt you a second time.